Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Allen Park, Michigan, and earned a doctorate in ministry from St. Mary's Seminary and University in Baltimore, Maryland. In 1977, he was ordained a priest, and from 1990 to 2014, he was the pastor of St. Louis de Marillac. From 1999 to 2012, he was the editor-in-chief of the Michigan Catholic. And since 2014, he's been the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish, whose mission statement is to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to serve Jesus. His name, Monsignor Thomas J. Rice. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a modern-day Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. His name, Monsignor Thomas Rice. Monsignor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Can we start by you offering us an opening prayer?
Yes, I'd like to do that. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we approach the great feast of Christmas, with all the excitement that the world has for the birth of your Son, we ask you to especially give us the gift of opening our hearts so that accepting Jesus into our hearts, we may also accept the gift of his love and share that gift for others. And we ask this always in the name of Jesus, who we welcome as our Savior and who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Well, to be very honest with you, I was very lucky to have the parents that I had and the family that I grew up in. I realize the older I get that I do refer to my mother and dad in my homilies, also in my teaching. The wisdom that my parents had is something that I am grateful to share with people. It seems to fit into the lived experience that everyone likes to experience themselves when issues of faith, often the struggles of faith, are part of their lives. And I'm lucky that I had parents who gave that faith to me, to my brother and my sisters. They didn't wear their faith on their sleeve, or they didn't go to the corner, you know, and proclaim it. What they did is they lived their faith every single day, and that was a witness to us, and a very powerful witness, because I'm sure that if my parents didn't give us the gift of faith and do so lovingly, I doubt if I'd even be a priest today. But I am, and I'm very grateful for my parents and the gift that they have given to me.
Speaking of which, Monsignor, your vocation. When and how did you hear God say, "Tom, follow me"?
Well, Jack, that's a question that a lot of people ask of me as a priest, but I'm sure they ask all priests that. I think people think that some priest is going to have the story that an angel came down from heaven and in all the power and glory that he has, he made known to that person, you know, that God wanted them to be a priest. But that is not the way it goes. It's a call, a vocation, from the Latin vocare, meaning to call. And it's a call that comes from God, but it comes very subtly. At least it did for me. It wasn't anything that was big or profound. It wasn't any Hollywood moment or movie moment. It was just a feeling as I began to mature in life that God might be calling me to a vocation to a priest, to become a priest. So I gave myself to following that call, and trusting that God would lead me to where he wanted me. And I am grateful that I can now say that I've been a priest for 46 years. And it's because of God's love that I can share in the priesthood of his son, Jesus.
Let's go back 46 years. October 8th, 1977, your ordination. What do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember it rained a lot. It was a day that there was a lot of rain. And I remember at the end of the ordination ceremony, it took place at Sacred Heart Seminary. Cardinal Dearden was the ordaining bishop. And we were taking our vestments off, and he looked at me and he said, "Young Father Tom," he said, "you know, if it rains on a significant day of your life, all the rest of it will be sunshine." Well, the cardinal didn't really know what he was talking about, but anyhow, my life has been that fair share of sunshine and some cloudy things too. But I do remember laying down during the Litany of the Saints. You know, the deacon to be ordained a priest lays down, and the Litany of the Saints is prayed over him. And it just has such a profound effect on the person who is to be ordained, because you're literally on the floor. And I can remember smelling the rug that I was on, a kind of an oriental rug, and thinking how many people have walked on this rug up to say Mass, because it would be the priest who would walk on that. And it kind of put me in an earthly position, that it was a good place to be, and that I was receiving the prayers of the people praying over me. That was a very humbling experience. That was a very powerful experience. And so I always remember that.
We're talking to Monsignor Tom Rice. When we come back, we're going to ask him about something he once told me. And I quote him, "Christ gave me a share in his priesthood." And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Troy, Monsignor Thomas Rice. Monsignor, once again I quote, "Christ gave me a share in his priesthood." Please.
Yeah, Jack, I truly believe that, because theologically speaking, there's only one great priest, and that is the eternal priest, who is Jesus. And we who are called to the priesthood don't possess the priesthood as our own right. It belongs to Jesus. And I always try to focus in on the gift that the priesthood is to me and to anybody who becomes a priest. A gift in sharing in the priesthood of Jesus himself, so that we should use Jesus as our model for priesthood. How Jesus acted, how Jesus loved, how Jesus ministered to people. That is the image that every priest should try to live out to the best of his ability in his life. And we do it as human persons. We're not perfect like Jesus. But when it's not all on us, then we realize that there's a power greater than ourselves, and that power is Jesus, and it's his priesthood that we share. And that is a great gift.
If you want to learn more, www.st, for Saint, Thomas More, M-O-R-E, Troy.org. All right, Monsignor, 46 plus years. You say Mass at least once a day. So you've said Mass over 17,000 times. Mm. When you take that host and that wine and you say, "This is my body, this is my blood," what do you think and what do you say to yourself?
Well, again, that's a very profound question, Jack. I would say that I believe what I say, this is my body, this is my blood, is possible because a priest shares in the priesthood of Jesus. So when those words are spoken, it's not the priest that is speaking them on his own. What he's doing is he's literally quoting Jesus at the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. And the priest is the instrument of God's grace at that moment. A great miracle is happening, really, that Jesus gives us his body and his blood. And he does that through the ministry of human persons, through priests. So the priest always has to keep focused on the fact that he is, as the church says, in the person of Christ at that moment. He's speaking literally for Jesus, so that when Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, we take him at his word. And we believe that with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's what I think of every time I say those words at the consecration of the Mass.
All right, Monsignor. 46 plus years, you've been a salesman for God. And in my humble opinion, a very good salesman for God. What's the biggest thing you've learned as a priest in these 46 plus years?
Well, first of all, it is true that I've been a priest for 46 years, and that is kind of a salesman for God. I tell people sometimes I work for God, and I've done that for 46 years, but I've not totally understood him in those 46 years because no one can. God is God. And we who try to represent God or to live out our faith through the practice of the Catholic religion, we do so knowing that God is greater than any of us. We are supposed to be his servants. And at the end of our life, the words that we want to hear from God are, well done, good and faithful servant. So I think that's what I stay focused on.
I often say there's only six words we have to hear. Well done, good and faithful. As long as we hear that.
Well, there we agree. Well
done, eternity, good. Right? Utopia forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We were talking about Mitch Albom on the way down here, and we talked about that he's got a gift. You have a gift as well. You are a tremendous homilist.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Okay. A modern-day Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. How
okay.
So?
Well, I thank you for that compliment. I certainly don't see myself as a Fulton J. Sheen. He was a great a person, and I remember Fulton Sheen as I was growing up. My parents would put Bishop Sheen on TV. I can't remember what day it was. Was it a Saturday night or something? But anyhow, it was a weekly thing in our family. And Bishop Sheen had a chalkboard, and then he had this person dressed up as an angel to erase the chalkboard as he went on to another lesson. And so I think Bishop Sheen is always going to be a singular person that nobody can really equal. But I appreciate the fact that you like my homilies, Jack. I think that's what you're saying. You know what I try to do in my homilies, and I have grown in this through the years, is I try to, and some days I'm more successful than others, obviously, but I try to preach like I'm in the pew listening to the homily. So I try to bring up in the homily questions, the doubts, the fears, the anxieties, the hopes, the desires, the joys of people who are going through life. And everybody is going through life at a different point. Any priest, when he's preaching a homily, could look at the congregation, and what does he see? He sees people who have come to worship God, But they're all in different places in their life. Some of them are happy moments. Some of them aren't so happy. But they're there. They're there because they want God to be part of their life. So if my homily can insert God somehow in their life, whatever the circumstances are, then I would consider myself successful in that regard. So thank you, Jack, for saying that the homilies are good. I hope to keep them up.
And keep making donations, Jack and Pam. So, okay. All right. As we look back on our lives, there's experiences that we don't understand when they're happening, but how important they are. You're a teenager, young teenager, at St. Francis Cabrini Parish, and there was a Monsignor Maino, and he had a newspaper column. Talk about that and what you did.
Well, when I was a young teenager, I worked at the rectory, and the pastor was Monsignor Hubert Maino, and he actually was the editor of the Michigan Catholic, the diocesan newspaper. And when he left that position after many years, he began to write a column for, I can't remember if it was the Detroit Free Press
News.
Or the Detroit News.
News.
Okay, the Detroit News. And every week he would give me his handwritten column, and he would ask me to type it, and then you would send it down to the newspaper. So I didn't know that, but in a way that prepared me for what I would one day be, the editor of the Michigan Catholic, and follow in his footsteps. So it's ironic, but it's kind of a beautiful thing to know that following in the footsteps of my own pastor, I was able to also have the privilege of being the editor of the Michigan Catholic for 13 years.
I
think he would have been happy for me.
You were AI before there was AI for this Monsignor.
There you go.
So. We're talking to Monsignor Thomas Rice, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula. We're with Monsignor Thomas Rice. Monsignor, we're within 4 days of Christmas. What's the basic message of Christmas?
Well, the basic message of Christmas is in its word. You know, we say Christmas, which is Christ Mass, and that is the combination of recognizing that the celebration belongs to Christ. It is his birthday. And that people went to Mass, obviously, as an act of worship for God, for the gift of his son, Jesus. So Christmas is really Christ Mass. But theologically speaking, Christmas is really the incarnation of God's word into our world. And that's how the church refers to Christmas liturgically, as the incarnation, two Latin words, incarno, which means in the flesh. And that means that God comes into the flesh of his own creation. This is a marvelous thing, a magnificent thing that we celebrate with great joy, that God so loved his own creation of humanity, that when the time came for a Savior, he was lovingly giving us Jesus himself, his own Son. And so Christmas should always be focused, of course, on Jesus. There's a lot of other things that are associated with Christmas. All that stuff is good, and it adds to the excitement, it adds to family life, and the goodness of friends gathering together. But we should never lose the focus of Christmas, the Christ Mass, the incarnation, that God would give us his own creation, this gift of his Son. And that's an incredible thing to celebrate every December 25th.
I've often heard you say that God's ways are not our ways. All right. Why was the Son of God born in a manger, in a trough, to a 14-year-old unwed virgin? Monsignor, how do you explain that?
Well, I think it was to teach us a lesson. And the lesson is that God isn't looking for all the stuff that the world considers so important. He's not looking for the money, the wealth, the position, the jewelry, the cars, the bank account, the power, the king in the palace, the general leading an army. None of those things is how God decided to enter into his own creation. Rather, he sends his Son to us in this very humble and simple environment to a young girl to a man named Joseph who loved and protected her and the child Jesus. It's a reminder that the things that we consider so important in life, all the things that we think glitter, and can give us happiness, are not the things that God thinks can give us happiness. He wants us to be like his Son, Jesus, to follow him.
Monsignor, Christmas is a time of great joy and in some cases, great sadness. There's a listener tonight that's just lost a loved one, just lost their job. Just heard you have cancer. What do you say to that listener tonight?
Well, it's very true that even when the world is very happy and rejoices and has many celebrations, that there are people who are not celebrating. They have a loss in their own personal life, their family, all the things that Jack mentioned. But I think Christmas, the message of Christmas is not just to rejoice at the birth of the Savior, but also to remember that by sending us a Savior, God says that he is with us at all times. And that's not just the good times that God is with us, that God is with us in the times that are most difficult, that are most trying. So I would say to somebody who feels that pain of loss, that pain of hurt, that pain of separation or whatever it is, to remember that God came to be with his people. That's what Emmanuel means, that God is with his people, and he's with his people through Jesus. So hang on to Jesus and know that you need a Savior, and he has come to be your Savior. And in that you can have a holy Christmas. Maybe not a Merry Christmas, but you can have a holy Christmas this year.
We're speaking to Monsignor Thomas Moore. If you want to learn more, www.st, for Saint, Thomas Moore, M-O-R-E, Troy.org. All right. John Cardinal Dearden ordained you. In 1963, he created Saint Thomas Moore Parish in Troy. And since 2014, you've been its pastor. First question, who was Thomas Moore?
Well, Thomas Moore was an amazing man. He was an English martyr. He lived during the time of Henry VIII in England. And he was the chancellor, the High Lord Chancellor of England. That was the title that was given to him. And he was a friend, actually, literally, of Henry VIII. And Henry entrusted to him great power and influence in his kingdom. But as time went on, Henry and Thomas were in conflict, found themselves in conflict. And what was at the root of the conflict was the desire of Henry VIII to a break with Rome, break with the Pope, and to establish an English church with the king at the head of the church, not the Pope. And this was something that Thomas More could not accept. The king wanted to do this because he very much had desired a divorce from his wife, Queen Catherine of Aragon. And the Pope said no to that request, and the king was angered by it. And so he wished to establish his own church where he would be the head of it and he could make his own rules. And obviously, you know, we know the history of his wives and so on and so forth. But Thomas More just would not accept the king's assertion of his supremacy over the church. And so he was designated as an enemy of the king, thrown into the Tower of London, and eventually beheaded. These were his last recorded words. "I die as the king's faithful servant, but God's first." And so St. Thomas More is a beautiful example for all of us to put the priorities of our life in such a way that God always reigns supreme over anything else, that God reigns supreme. And Thomas More is a shining example for all of us to be exactly that kind of Christian in our world today. I might want to add, too, that St. Thomas More Parish is named after him, and it was the first parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit to be named after a layperson. We have that distinctive honor. Thomas More was a husband. He was a father and, of course, a great saint.
We're talking to Monsignor Thomas Rice. Recently, St. Thomas More Parish has come up with a mission statement that Monsignor's really working to propagate throughout the entire flock. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that mission statement. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Monsignor Thomas Rice. Since 2014, he's been the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Troy. Recently, your flock and you have come up with a mission statement. Know Jesus, love Jesus, serve Jesus. By the way we serve others. Monsignor, please.
Well, I'm very proud of the fact that our parish has a new mission statement, and we discussed this new mission statement because we had the need, I thought, and the pastoral staff agreed, that we had the need to do something about our parish statement, our mission statement. It was a couple of paragraphs long. It was a very good statement, But we came to the conclusion that nobody would remember it, and if nobody remembers it, how could it be put into practice? So we decided we needed a mission statement that was simple and could touch the hearts of the people who make up St. Thomas More Parish. And we decided on something that I think is excellent. Our mission statement now is simply this: to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to serve Jesus by the way we serve and care for one another. And I truly believe that if every parish, including our own, lived out this mission statement, that we would have parishes that would be alive with the love of God, because Jesus is the center and the focus of everything that happens. And I think that's a beautiful way to look upon how we can live out our faith. We come to know Jesus in many different ways, through the scriptures, through the liturgy, through our neighbors, our friends, our parish community. And once we know Jesus, then hopefully we're able to make that commitment to love Jesus. And anyone who has ever been in love knows that when you're in love, everything changes. The whole world changes, the way things look, and the way you may want to act. And so to fall in love with Jesus means that you want to then put that love into action in some way. And of course, he tells us how to do that, and that is to serve one another. That's why he gives us that beautiful example at the end of his earthly life, just moments before his, before his crucifixion. He's kneeling down and washing the feet of his apostles. So it's a simple statement, but I think it's a profound statement, and it's something that can guide our lives to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to serve Jesus by the way we serve and care for one another.
By the way we serve one another, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. By the way we serve one another. What does that parable say to you, Monsignor?
Well, it says that we can easily pass by others in their need and not even notice them. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us, that here a man was in desperate need of to be helped. He was robbed, and he was beaten, and he was thrown off to the side of the road. And then the parable tells us who came by and just simply did not come to minister to his needs. And then finally, this Samaritan, who would have been a foreigner, a non-Jewish person, comes by and sees this poor man and has compassion on him. So to me, the parable is a beautiful example of what we should do when we know Jesus and love Jesus. Well, we reach out and we serve others to the best of our ability. But we have to do what the parable asks us to do. We have to notice those people who are on the side of the road. So that means who are the people at the side of the road of our lives? Who are the people that are at the side of the roads of society? Who are the people who are marginalized by society? Who are often put at the exit ramp instead of the entrance ramp? Do we have the love to kneel down and do what Jesus tells us to do, and that is to love and care for one another?
One other parable, if you would. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. The man who has the two sons. I often think about myself as the quote-unquote good son. Please.
Yeah. I suppose all of us in some way, can find ourselves in the parable of the prodigal son. And yes, many people might think they're the good son. Others can have understanding for the other son who felt that his father didn't give him a fair share of things. But the thing I love about the parable of the prodigal son is the way Luke paints the picture of the father, that the son had gone through the father's money and come to the realization that he wanted to return home and see if his father would welcome him. And the parable says that the father saw the son at a distance. The father saw the son at a distance. And that's an important component of the parable, because that meant that the father was looking for the son. He was anxiously awaiting the son's return, and he could have been waiting for that son for years. For all the time that he was absent, the father was yearning for the son to come home so that the son could be part of the family again. And the parable says that literally the father ran out before the son could even get to the house.
As we close, can you lead us in a closing prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share this time with one another. And during this holy season of Christmas, please give your grace, your love to all of us, so that we may be the witnesses of the love of Jesus in our world and truly know Jesus, love Jesus, and serve him by the way we love and serve one another. Merry and Holy Christmas and a healthy and good New Year to all of you. And thank you, Jack, for the opportunity today to be here with you.
And Monsignor, thank you for 46 years of fabulous service to our Lord and all of us.
You're very welcome, Jack.
God bless. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Fasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.